Welcome back, Jack and Pavel, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. The traditional medical model does not work for everyone, and there are a lot of physicians who find themselves burnt out and run down and depressed and wondering if they are really doing their patients justice. And a few of them actually do something about it. Not to say that every hospital or every doctor faces exactly the same stresses, but everyone's certainly looking for a better way to deal with patients. Dr. Pamela Weibel did something about it in Oregon, and she has come up with a very different way of dealing with patients, much more intimacy and much more one-on-one care. Hello, Dr. Weibel. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Jack?
Just fine. Can you tell us a little bit about this moment when it dawned on you that something has to change, that you weren't doing much good for your patients or yourself?
Well, I was skipping bathroom breaks. I wasn't taking lunch breaks, and I was actually just wearing myself down. And I spent most of my day interrupting patients in mid-sentence while they were crying to say, sorry, we're out of time. You know, and it made me, it just destroyed my soul. You can only imagine doing that over and over again. I actually had dreamed of returning to my college waitressing job just so I could be nice to people again. You know, all I ever wanted to do was walk up to somebody and say, how can I help you? What can I do for you? And my jobs did not allow me to do that.
Most doctors work with a similar clock, with allowing so much per patient.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and they've actually shown in primary care that empathy burnout, which is when you basically stop caring what people are saying and you tune them out because it's just overwhelming. You can only listen to so many horror stories all day long. It happens after 10 to 12 patients, and the average primary care doctor sees 28 to 30 patients a day. So do the math and figure out two-thirds of people are being ignored.
Don't primary care physicians have a say in how many patients they see?
Well, I think if they're in private practice, they can do that. But if you work as an employee, you're really nothing more than a factory worker, and somebody else, an administration, is controlling the speed of the treadmill, unfortunately.
All right. Let's talk a little more about what you did when it dawned on you, and you pulled back. And I guess you went through quite an experience before it dawned on you how you were going to cope.
Yeah, I actually went into a big depression, didn't get out of bed for some time, and all I've ever wanted to do is be a doctor. You know, it's my life's calling. It's like a spiritual calling for me. And so to be able to not take care of patients was devastating for me. And so, I mean, I was actually to the point of almost being suicidal. And a surprising number of medical students, by the way, 11% have suicidal thoughts just during training. So I'm not the only one thinking, you know, this isn't working. And so I woke up with a vision one day. It was on Pearl Harbor Day 2004. Around 6 in the morning, I woke up with this sort of great idea that I could just put my community and patients in charge of designing my practice. And they could create their sort of fantasy ideal medical clinic, and I'll just work for them. And that's what I did. I had a town hall meeting. I had ended up with 100 pages of written testimony, and that became my business plan. I'm actually doing what my patients want instead of fighting with them.
How many other physicians do you know who are doing what the patients want?
I think a lot of physicians who are in private practice are trying to do that, you know, trying to recapture that old neighborhood Marcus Welby, right, family doctor who cares sort of attitude. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of doctors I've talked to who then have gone to their communities and tried to do these town hall meetings and such. And I think it's just a great idea to stop having adversarial relationships in healthcare and actually do what the patients want. You know, we all really want the same thing.
Do you find a lot of physicians who are so overworked that they do not remember their patients' names, much less what's wrong with them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a woman who came to me, and I asked her on her original visit a few questions, and she told me that the reason she came to me is she was so frustrated because she's an otherwise healthy woman who just goes in once a year for a physical. Her regular doctor would ask her every year if she had kids and when is she going to have kids, and she had to keep reminding her, I want my tubes tied. Remember, I told you that last year and you wouldn't send me for a referral. So, I mean, you have people asking the same questions and being actually sort of disrespectful to not remember people. And in medicine, you're in a survival mode. So really the only patients a busy doctor remembers are the train wrecks, the ones that forge your prescriptions or throw up on you or really cause a scene in your office, you know, bring in a gun. I mean, they're the ones that you remember. The average really nice people, you don't have a chance to really remember them. You know?
Pamela, what does this mean for the average patient or the average person who is getting health care in this country? What can you tell our listeners that can help them with this?
Well, I think the best advice I've ever heard is from an